Beulah Land. Now I saw in my dream that by this time the pilgrims were now beyond the enchanted ground, and had entered into the country of Beulah, whose air was very sweet and pleasant. As their way went directly through Beulah Land, they delighted themselves there for a season. Yes, here they continually heard the singing of birds, and every day saw new flowers appear, and heard the song of the turtle dove in the land. In this country, the sun shines night and day. It was beyond the valley of the shadow of death, and also out of reach of giant despair. They could not so much as see Doubting Castle. Here, they were within sight of the city they were traveling to. They also met some of the inhabitants of that city, for in this land the Shining Ones commonly walked, because it was upon the borders of heaven. In this land also the contract between the bride and the bridegroom was renewed. Yes, here, as the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so does their God rejoice over them. Here they had no lack of grain or wine, for in this place they met with abundance of what they'd sought for in all their pilgrimage. Here they heard voices from out of the city, loud voices, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes, behold, his reward is with him." Here all the inhabitants of the country called them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, sought out ones. Now as they walked in this land, they rejoiced more than they had in all the former parts of their journey. Drawing near to the city, they had even a more perfect view of it. It was built of pearls and precious stones, and the great street of the city was pure gold. So by reason of the natural splendor of the city and the reflection of the sunbeams upon it, Christian became lovesick with longing for it. Hopeful also had a fit or two of the same lovesickness. Therefore they stayed here for a while, calling out, because of their longings, "If you find my beloved, tell him that I am lovesick." Now, being a little strengthened and better able to bear their lovesickness, they walked on their way and came yet nearer and nearer. They saw orchards, vineyards, and gardens, and their gates opened into the highway. Now, as they came up to these places, behold, the gardener was standing there. And the pilgrims asked, "Whose lovely vineyards and gardens are these?" The gardener answered, "They are the king's, and are planted here for his own delight, and also for the refreshment of pilgrims." So the gardener brought them into the vineyards, and bid them to refresh themselves with the delicacies. He also showed them the king's walkways and the arbors where he delighted to be. So here they tarried and slept. Now I beheld in my dream that they talked more in their sleep at this time than they ever did in all their journey. As I was in deep thought about this, the gardener said to me, "Why are you pondering the matter? It is the nature of the grapes of these vineyards to go down sweetly, as to cause the lips of those who are asleep to speak." So I saw that when the pilgrims awoke, they prepared to go up to the city. But, as I said, the reflection of the sun upon the city, for the city was pure gold, was so resplendent that they could not as yet behold it with open face, but only through an instrument made for that purpose. So I saw that as they went on, that two men in clothing which shone like gold met them. Their faces also shone as the light. These men asked the pilgrims where they came from, and they told them. They also asked them where they had lodged, what difficulties and dangers, and what comforts and pleasures they met with along the way, and they told them. Then the men said, "You have but two more difficulties to meet with, and then you are in the city." Christian and Hopeful asked the men to go along with them, and they told them that they would. "But," said they, "you must obtain it by your own faith." So I saw in my dream that they went on together until they came within sight of the gate of the city. The River of Death. Now I further saw that between them and the gate was a river, but there was no bridge to pass over it, and the river was very deep. At the sight of this river, the pilgrims were bewildered, but the men said to them, "You must go through the river, or you cannot enter in at the gate." The pilgrims then began to inquire if there was any other way to the gate, to which the men answered, "Yes, but only two, since the foundation of the world, have been permitted to tread that path, namely Enoch and Elijah, nor shall any others go that way until the last trumpet shall sound." The pilgrims then, especially Christian, began to lose heart. They looked this way and that, but they could find no way by which they might escape the river. Then they asked the men if the waters were all the same depth. "No," they replied, "you shall find it deeper or shallower, just as you believe in the king of the city." The pilgrims then approached the water. Upon entering it, Christian began to sink. Crying out to his good friend Hopeful, he shouted, "I'm sinking in deep waters. The billows are rolling over my head. All his waves are washing over me." Then Hopeful replied, "Take courage, my brother. I feel the bottom, and it's firm." Christian then cried out, "Ah, my friend, the sorrows of death have compassed me about. I shall not see the land which flows with milk and honey." With that, a great darkness and horror fell upon Christian, so that he could not see ahead of him. He also, in great measure, lost his senses, so that he could neither remember nor talk coherently of any of those sweet refreshments which he had met with along the way of his pilgrimage. But all the words that he spoke still tended to manifest his horror of mind and heart fears that he would die in that river, and never obtain entrance at the gate. Here also, as those two men who stood by perceived, Christian was much in troublesome thoughts concerning the sins that he had committed, both before and since he began to be a pilgrim. It was also observed by his words that he was troubled with apparitions of hobgoblins and evil spirits. Hopeful, therefore, labored hard to keep his brother's head above water. Yes, sometimes Christian almost drowned, but then, in a short time, he would surface again, half dead. Hopeful would also endeavor to encourage him, saying, "Brother, I see the gate, and the men standing ready to receive us." But Christian would answer, It's you they're waiting for. You've been Hopeful ever since I first knew you." "And so have you," responded Hopeful. "Ah, brother," cried Christian, "surely if I were right with him, then he'd now arise to help me. Because of my sins he's brought me into the snare and has left me." Hopeful reminded him, "My brother, You've quite forgotten the text where it said of the wicked, they have no struggles in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not troubled as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. These troubles and distresses that you're going through in these waters are no indication that God has forsaken you. Rather, they're only meant to test you as to whether you will call to mind what you've hitherto received of his goodness and live upon them in your present distresses. Then I saw in my dream that Christian was in deep thought for a while. Hopeful then added this word, "Take courage. Jesus Christ makes you whole." With that, Christian cried out with a loud voice, "Oh, I see him again, and he tells me, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you." Then they both took courage. After that, the enemy was as still as a stone and could no longer hinder them. Christian therefore felt firm ground to stand upon and found that the rest of the river was but shallow. Thus, they both crossed over the river. The Celestial City. Now upon the bank of the river on the other side, they saw two shining men again who were waiting for them. Therefore, having come out of the river, the shining men greeted them, saying, "We are ministering spirits, sent forth to serve those who are heirs of salvation." Thus they went along together towards the gate. Now that city stood upon a mighty hill, but the pilgrims went up that hill with ease, because they had these two shining men to lead them up by their hands. Also, they left their mortal garments behind them in the river, for though they went in with them, they came out without them. They therefore went up towards the city with much agility and speed, though the foundation upon which the city was framed was higher than the clouds. They went up through the regions of the air, sweetly talking as they went, being comforted because they'd safely gotten over the river and had such glorious companions to attend them. The conversation they had with the Shining Ones was about the splendor of that place. They told the pilgrims that the beauty and glory of it was inexpressible. "There," said they, "is Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable company of angels, and the spirits of just men made perfect. You're now going to the paradise of God, where you shall see the tree of life and eat of its never-fading fruits. When you arrive there, you shall have white robes given to you, and you shall walk and talk with the King every day, even through all the days of eternity. There, you shall never again see such things as you saw when you were in the lower region of earth, namely sorrow, sickness, affliction, and death, for the former things have passed away. You're now going to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to the prophets, men whom God has taken away from the evil to come, and who are now at rest, each one walking in his righteousness." The pilgrims then asked, "What will we do in the holy city?" The Shining Ones answered, "You will there receive the comforts of all your toil, and have joy for all your sorrow. You will reap what you have sown, even the fruit of all your prayers and tears and sufferings for the King along the way. In that place you will wear crowns of gold and enjoy the perpetual sight and vision of the Holy One, for there you shall see him as he is. You shall also serve him whom you desired to serve while in the world, though with much difficulty because of the infirmity of your flesh. There you shall continually worship him with praise and shouting and thanksgiving. There your eyes will be delighted with seeing him, and your ears with hearing the pleasant voice of the Mighty One. There you shall enjoy your friends again, who've gone there before you, and you shall joyfully receive everyone who follows you into that holy place. There also you shall be clothed with glory and majesty, fit to accompany the King of Glory, when he shall come with trumpet sound in the clouds, as upon the wings of the wind, you shall come with him. And when he shall sit on the throne of judgment, you shall sit with him. Yes, and when he shall pass sentence upon all the workers of iniquity, whether they are angels or men, you also shall have a voice in that judgment, because they were both his and your enemies. And so you will be with the Lord forever. Now, while they were thus drawing towards the gate, behold, a company of the heavenly hosts came out to meet them. The two shining ones exclaimed, "These are the men who have loved our Lord while they were in the world, and who have left all for his holy name. He sent us to fetch them, and we brought them thus far on their desired journey, that they may go in and look upon their Redeemer's face with joy." Then the heavenly hosts gave a great shout, saying, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." At this time, several of the king's trumpeters came out to meet them. They were arrayed in shining white clothing, and with loud and melodious voices, they made even the heavens to echo with their sound. These trumpeters greeted Christian and Hopeful with 10,000 welcomes. This done, they surrounded the pilgrims so as to guard them through the upper regions, continually singing with melodious voices as they went, as if heaven itself had come down to meet them. Thus, therefore, they walked on together. As they walked, these trumpeters with joyful sound would always, by mixing their music with pleasant looks and gestures, signify to Christian and Hopeful how welcome they were in their company, and with what gladness they came to receive them. Now Christian and Hopeful were as if in heaven before they came there, being swallowed up with the sight of angels and with the hearing of their melodious voices. Here also they had the city fully in view, and they thought that they heard all the city bells ringing to welcome them in. But above all, they were encouraged by the warm and joyful thoughts of their own dwelling there, with such company, and that for ever and ever. Oh, what tongue or pen could express their glorious joy! And thus they came up to the gate. Now, there was written over the gate in letters of gold, "Blessed are those who obey his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city." Then I saw in my dream that the shining men bid them to call at the gate. And when they did, some looked over the gate, namely Enoch, Moses, Elijah, and others, to whom it was told, "These pilgrims have come from the city of destruction for the love that they bear to the king of this place." Then each pilgrim handed in their certificate, which they had received in the beginning of their journey. These certificates were carried to the king, who, when he had read them, said, "Where are the men to whom it was answered, "They're standing outside the gate." The king then commanded, "Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter in." Now I saw in my dream that these two men went in at the gate. And behold, as they entered, they were transfigured, and they were arrayed with clothing which shone like gold. Some met them with harps and crowns, which were given to the pilgrims. The harps were given for worship, and the crowns were given as a token of honor. Then I heard in my dream that all the bells in the city rang again for joy, and that it was said to the pilgrims, "Enter into the joy of your Lord." I also heard Christian and Hopeful themselves singing with a loud voice, saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever." Now just as the gates were opened to let the men in, I looked in after them, and behold, the city shone like the sun. The streets also were paved with gold, and on them walked many men with crowns on their heads, palms in their hands, and golden harps to sing praises with. There were also some angelic beings with wings, and they sang back and forth without intermission, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." After that, they closed up the gates. When I had seen all of this, I wished that I myself was among them. Now, while I was gazing upon all these things, I turned my head to look back and saw Ignorance come up to the riverside. He soon got over the river, and without half of the difficulty which Christian and Hopeful met with. For it happened that one called Vain Hope, a ferryman, was there, and with his boat he helped Ignorance cross the river. Then I saw that Ignorance ascended the hill and came up to the gate all alone. There was no man to meet him with the least encouragement. When he arrived at the gate, he looked up to the writing that was above it, and then began to knock, supposing that entrance would quickly be given to him. But he was asked by the men who looked over the top of the gate, "Where have you come from? What do you want?" He answered them, "I have eaten and drank in the presence of the king, and he has taught in our streets." They then asked him for his certificate, that they might go in and show it to the king. So he fumbled in his bosom for one, but found none. Then they asked, "Have you no certificate?" But the man answered not a word. So they told the king about Ignorance, but he would not go down to see him. Instead, he commanded the two shining ones who had conducted Christian and Hopeful to the city to go out and take Ignorance, bind him hand and foot, and cast him away. So they took Ignorance up and carried him through the air to the door which I had seen in the side of the hill, and threw him in there. Then I saw that there was a way to hell, even from the very gates of heaven, as well as from the city of destruction. So I awoke, and behold, it was a dream. The text for this audio has been provided by Grace Gems and may be freely read online at their website, gracegems.org. The Pilgrim's Progress was narrated by Christopher Glynn. To listen to the King James Audio Bible, as well as a variety of classic and modern Christian devotionals, visit chrisglynn.com.